On today's Question of Faith, is loving yourself considered self-care? Hey everybody, this is Question of Faith. I am Mike Hayes. I'm the Director of Young Adult Ministry of the Diocese of Cleveland.
And I'm Father Damian Ferentz, the Vicar for Evangelization.
And I'm Molly Kulig, an auditor in the tribunal.
Hey Molly, how are you? Welcome back.
Wonderful. It's good to see you guys again.
We were on the road with you last time over at the hotel at the Canon Law Conference. And confession is good for the soul, right? So
yeah,
it would help if I checked the batteries in our remote unit before we go. So we're doing this podcast with Molly, you may remember, listeners, and all of a sudden it's like 13 minutes in, like, hey, it's time for church search.
Mm-hmm.
The batteries are running out on our little remote unit. So we felt like we shortchanged you. So I said, well, we should at least have Molly back before the holidays.
No, that's okay. I'll just take it as I talk too long.
Not at all. So anyway, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa.
Indeed. Well, it's good to have you in the studio.
Yeah.
And this topic is an interesting one. So
yeah, so someone wrote in and they said that Jesus calls us to love others as we love ourselves. The question is loving oneself considered self-care? The questioner reflects on the struggle of having love for themselves, and they want advice in that regard.
Hmm. Molly, do you have thoughts first?
Yeah, so it's a super relevant question right now, especially because I think there's a tendency to do one extreme or the other, right?
Mm.
So we have a tendency to either say, I am going to totally devote myself to others but not love myself, or to do the exact opposite. So I think it's important that we address this and recognize that it's important that we love ourselves, and it is actually, we love ourselves out of a response for God's love for us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So God loves us first, and we are called to love ourselves too, because we love the things that God loves, and that is creation, right? God
mm-hmm.
created us out of love, and he loves us, so we are called to also love ourselves. Now, I think we need to continue past there, because sometimes then we might love ourselves a little bit too much, right? And we don't think of other people, or we put ourselves before others. So there needs to be a balance there. We need to love ourselves, recognizing that God loved us first, but at the same time, we need to put others first, right? And we show our love for God by loving others, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I think the danger would be, it's sort of like the guys, hey, take my buddy Doc, he's hurt worse than I am, right?
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
Right.
But the danger would be, hey, take everybody down the line, because they're obviously more in need than I am, even though I'm bleeding out as we talk.
Right.
Right? You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a difference there. I need care too at some point, and I shouldn't deprive myself of that.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody else is better than I am, maybe. You know,
right.
It becomes I'm bad and everybody else is good, so I can't be any good, so you might as well just let me go.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in the instance I'm talking about anyway.
Yeah, I think it is a very much a relational question, as Molly says, begins with God. So we're first commanded to love God, right?
Mm.
And then we love our neighbor and love ourselves. And in loving God, we're also receiving the love that God has for us. And if we are created in his image and likeness, as we are, mm-hmm. then we need to be able to love ourselves as God loves us. And I think there's a tendency to think, no, I kind of got to be hard on myself because I really am not deserving of all this. And, you know, we say at Mass, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. And it is true that because of sin, we've been separated from God, but by God's grace, we're brought in back to communion with him, and his mercy is his gift to us, and it's accepting love that we didn't do anything to deserve.
Mm.
And in doing that, we find ourselves like free and open, and then being able to want to share that love with other people, including ourselves, you know? So I think the extreme in our culture is, got to take care of self, got to take self-care, number one. And then we become so consumed with getting, you know, the right amount of sleep and the right amount of meals and the right amount of all these things that we're we only take care of ourselves, and then we're not giving ourselves away in love. Right. So yes, this balance is very important, that we're taking time to be loved by God and to recognize that God loves us, and loving ourselves, and then sharing that love with those that we meet.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's this balance.
Right. And in reference to that quote that we say at Mass, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." I think the tendency is to at one point in my own life, I thought so much about that first part of the statement, but then it dawned on me, wait, there's a second part to this, right? But Lord, only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Right. But so God actually heals us, right? We're not worthy. We need to recognize that. However, God helps to make us worthy.
He makes us worthy.
Amen. He makes us worthy. So it's so important that we see both sides of that that statement, and we don't get fixated on one part of it.
Yeah, and the biblical origin of that teaches us that, right?
You know, right.
The guy asks Jesus to heal his daughter, and you know, Lord, you're not worthy to come under my roof, but only say the word, and my daughter will be healed, and Jesus heals her. So yeah.
I have a really hard time doing this outside of Mass, but I'll try. So after the Our Father, deliver us, Lord, we pray for my will, grant us peace in our day. Then it's like, Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, peace I give you, my peace. Look, then there's this great line, look not on our sins,
but on the faith
of your church. So there's always this tension that, yes, we are sinners, and God is completely merciful and will take away our sins. And so it's both of those things, I think, is proper love of oneself, because recognizing we cannot do this on our own, and there's something about us that's not lovable, our sinfulness, but the Lord comes to save us from our sins and then makes us lovable by his mercy.
Think about what you just said, too. Like, look not on our sins, but on our faith, right?
Right.
Well, what does it say about our faith if we believe God can't forgive us of our sins, right?
Right.
We're limiting God's power in some way. You know, God can't forgive us is what we're saying in that instance. That's probably a bigger sin, right?
Yeah, that's a sin of pride.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that somehow God couldn't enter into this mess of my life, and again, I mean, we're Christmas season here.
Right.
Where is God born? Not in a pristine hospital or a castle or some far off place from any kind of chaos, but in the middle of some chaos. You know, they can't find an inn, so there's animals around here. It's not an ideal space, and that's where he wants to come. Our lives are not an ideal space. It's sin, and he enters into that, and he comes to heal.
But not only that, but it's the exact opposite of pride that we're talking about, right? He comes in this humble form of an infant who has to have his mother and father take care of him, right?
In a barn.
Just think about that. Yes, in a barn, in a feeding trough.
The Son of God.
the bread of life for the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that humility, I think, is a part of it, right? So we need to recognize that. I think in recognizing our unworthiness of God loving us, but then recognizing that God does still love us despite that, can help us be led to a greater love of God, but then that should also then go out to other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And extend also that that mercy that we receive from God to other people too, right? And that's a part of loving others as well, forgiving them when they also are at fault towards us.
Why do you think it is that sometimes, for myself included, it's easier to show mercy to another than to myself? Because that's part of this. It's like it's easier to love other people and say, okay, so God loves us, or God loves, you know, has saved the human race, and so I can show that love and mercy to others. But like to get to the point in one's life to say, and that includes me. That can be a difficult place. But if you get there, and this isn't just a one-time thing. I think there's moments in life where you receive that love once again, and it's new and it's fresh. And in my life in 2009, I did an 8-day silent retreat, and that love came fresh again in a way that it did maybe when I was 18 on a tech retreat or at different moments. But those moments when you receive the Lord's love once again, and maybe you're kind of trying to fix it yourself or hold on, and then you enter in and boom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, whoo, that's a life changer.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. But you're exactly right. It is a difficult thing sometimes for us to actually love ourselves as opposed to other people. And I don't know. That's a difficult one to address. Do you have something, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in my work with young people, too, I think when I would take them on retreat and they would get, you know, they would get letters from family or something mm-hmm. like that, and they would see, wow, all these people love me.
Right.
Why don't I love me? Mm-hmm. You know, kind right. of thing. And then they'd start to reflect on that a little bit, and they would say, well, I guess I should love me. I guess I mm-hmm. can see all yeah. these good qualities that I have that make somebody else think I'm pretty good. And they would start to sort of chip away at that, right. and they would start to realize, well, there is goodness in me.
Yeah.
But I think that for most of us, we go the other way, is that we say, wow, I know all the bad things I think about other people, or I know all the bad things I've done, right? Yeah. And maybe nobody else knows them, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you've done something that you think is really, really yeah. horrible, and no one knows that you've done that or are doing this.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, man, I hope no one ever finds out. Mm-hmm. But I'm the one who knows, so now mm-hmm. I'm going to be really hard on myself because nobody else knows the secret part of me, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think,
except God, obviously.
Well, I think one thing, too, is sometimes we have a problem where we equate being loved with some characteristic we possess,
yeah, that's right?
right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this fallacy that, like, if I'm a good singer, if I'm a good student, if I'm this, if I'm that, then I'll be worthy of receiving love mm-hmm. by others, right? And then people will love me, right? So we make this mistake where we think that is where we get our self-worth and our love from, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to God, mm. right? Because really, it all comes back to God. God is the reason we are worthy of love, right? And so sometimes it's easier to try to search in our search for love. We're trying to be the best in all these different things, but really, that's not really what's what makes us lovable. And so I think that's an important thing that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
We've made this distinction on this podcast quite a few times, the distinction between transactional and relational.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about there is if I do this, so it's also conditional, then right. I'll be loved. And the fact is that when God comes to us, he comes to us in his mercy and in his love and in our sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's that meeting us there that he's able to transform our lives and mm-hmm. heal us. And our posture is this Marian posture of acceptance. Like, yeah, I'm a sinner, but you've come to save me. So you're going to be doing most of the work here, not mm-hmm. me.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's counterintuitive, especially for like American Catholics where we're working hard and we've got great work ethic. And I'm, you know, even like Slovak, Eastern European, working class people, right. I'm going to do this. And to let God do that work for you can be hard. And that takes great humility because
yes.
I have to let mm-hmm. someone help me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like with Pope Francis and they asked him, who is Jorge Bergoglio? And he said, I am a sinner. And they paused and said, but I'm a sinner who God has looked upon.
Who the Lord has looked upon. Yeah, that's my bio Perfect. Line for my Twitter, my first line there.
Yeah. I think too, like, you know, I think there's some of this that goes along with marriage sometimes, or even pre-marriage, mm-hmm. right? Like people who are looking to date or be in a relationship. If I had a dime for everybody who has ever said to me when they've come to me for like spiritual direction, if only I were married, or if only I were dating someone, my life would be so much better. I would feel so much more loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, well, you might feel loved by someone else. I said, but all your problems wouldn't be over. I said, let me just do this from a mathematical point of view. Mm-hmm. You've got problems, right? Well,
yeah.
Let's face it, right? You know? And they say, yeah. And I say, okay, and so your solution to your problems is to get into a relationship with somebody else who has problems.
Right.
You've just doubled your work. And they're like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. I said, yeah. I said, you know, someone else isn't going to solve all your problems. You need to love yourself here before you can kind of give yourself to somebody else fully and freely.
Yeah.
And
I think sometimes we misunderstand what love is too,
right?
So we have to get to the root of what love is. And love entails sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
Christ showed us that. And
Amen.
Right? So, and as we learned from Aristotle, love is to will the good of the other for the sake of the other, right? So all these idealized versions of love that are fluffy without problems and just like everything's peaceful and there's never any suffering, it's not real love. That's not
right.
the kind of love that Jesus reveals to us. So I think a part of all of this is recognizing what love really is.
And it's an act. So in your definition of Aristotle, which Thomas builds upon, of course, I like that you said Aristotle, though. I just got done teaching them to the seminarians. But it is an act of the will. So despite the feelings and emotions that come, it is an act of the will that can override it. So I may not feel like praying my breviary today. I may not feel like being obedient today, or may not feel like whatever, fill in the blank. But I promise to do these things, so I'm going to do them. That is an act of love. And just like Jesus on the cross, he is willingly giving up his life. So no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So oftentimes love does come with some pain and some sorrow and some agony. And our culture will not teach us that, but our faith certainly does. And there's other times where it comes with ecstasy and great joy.
Right.
That's right.
And so that would mean that sometimes love of self comes with those things too.
Yeah.
And accepting the Father's love, you know, as a beloved son or daughter. And geez, I didn't do any. I think of it, I've been thinking of my parents a lot lately with the holidays, and I miss them dearly. I had really good Catholic parents, Mike. I know we've shared this conversation. Yeah. I did absolutely nothing to deserve to have good Catholic parents.
Yeah,
nothing.
Right?
They made me, you know. And so there's the sense of gratitude, like, wow. And it's analogous to the love of God is, I didn't do anything to deserve his mercy or his love, and yet he does love me, so I should just accept his love. And then when you accept it, then you become what you receive, and then you can share it with other people. So,
yeah.
And with Christmas coming up this weekend, you know, we did nothing to deserve Jesus coming as one of us.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God just said, nah, I'm good.
I also
don't need to be born in a barn. Don't need to be crucified. Don't need to do any of those things. I'm good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yet, here I come anyway.
And in this year or years of Eucharistic revival, I've been thinking a lot about the non-threatening way in which God comes to us in swaddling clothes as a baby who mm-hmm. makes himself dependent upon his mom and dad, you know, Mary and stepdad Joseph, who is dying on the cross, a dying man who in that way is like, how could you be afraid of a man dying on a cross? And then he hides himself so humbly in a host, you know, in the Eucharist. So he comes to us humbly, like, just receive what I have to give you. And we get so stubborn at times. And I do think it's like, it is a form of pride to say, but I have this, or but I'm struggling with this, but I'm struggling with this. And he says, I know, and that's what I come. Like, I'm the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So give me some of that stuff. Give me all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Right.
And also the easy part. But it's like being Mary and being open. Okay, be it done unto me according to thy word. You know, let him loose on your life.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And so Christmas is coming this weekend, so before we forget, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
The word became flesh. And
if you're listening to this on Christmas, that'll be a good time to listen, actually. I hope you're doing that. And you know, when maybe you've snuck away from all the family activity and said, I need about 10 minutes just to sit down and be quiet for a little while. That would be me at a family party or something, right?
And Mike, I never say this. Once in a while, you'll say, you know, like our show or do this, and because hopefully people do that naturally, but we have to encourage folks. But I will say this Christmas, if you have someone in your life who you love, who maybe has been away from the church for a while, this conversation that we're having, I think may be really beneficial to someone to understand like self-care and love of God. So do share it.
Yeah. What better Christmas gift could you give to someone, right?
You know? Yeah. Than the love of God.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Check this out. This might do you some good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And so, Molly, I know we talked about your home parish last time, but I think you were married in a different parish than the one that you go to, correct?
That is correct. My husband and I were married in Queen of Heaven in Uniontown,
Ohio. Oh, that's
a
great parish, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
The southeastern edge of our diocese, correct?
Right, and it's diocese. Like right within one city. You've got the Diocese of Youngstown and Cleveland in one city. And they've got the Queen of Heaven has a wonderful adoration chapel, too, that I encourage people to check out.
On the back end of the parking lot.
Yeah, it's
very cool. We were there in the spring for our grandparents' workshop. It was our very first one, and it we had probably 60, 65 people, and Father Durkee came over on his bike, and maybe he brought his dog, I don't remember. But Father Durkee was the parochial vicar at St. Charles in Parma when I was in my last years of middle school. So he's a fine man. He's hilarious.
Wonderful. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and our Christmas readings for Christmas during – let's still do the Midnight Mass version here. I'm going to look at the first reading. Feel free to look at what you guys want to look at. But the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, from Isaiah. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. I just love that.
That's great. Yeah. I was looking at the part about the shepherds in the gospel, and I should have known this, and I probably heard it in a seminary class, but it didn't sink from my head into my heart until I was in the Holy Land a few years ago. I was with a 10-brother priest from the Diocese of Cleveland on pilgrimage, and the guy who was taking us through Bethlehem was telling us that, okay, the shepherds would be there, and they were raising all these sheep to be sacrificed at the temple. Mm. And I was thinking, oh, like I knew that, but it didn't hit me in the same way that, of course, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and at the Last Supper there'll be no lamb there because he's the Lamb and he's instituting the Eucharist, and it blew my mind and my heart open. And so, yeah, it's so rich.
Yeah.
How about you, Molly?
Well, every time I get to this gospel, I now think of this image I had at Walmart, of all places.
Yes.
This one Advent season, I was standing in line, and I saw a lady there with her infant child swaddled in this blanket. Mm. And it just dawned on me, that is what our Jesus, this is what our Lord came to us as. And I just was moved as I was standing in line. So as I look at this reading, and it says, she wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. I now look at this whole passage a little bit differently, just recognizing this humility, as I alluded to earlier, that Jesus would have had to come to us like that. It's such a precious, beautiful stage, but having to rely completely on his parents. And I think that we're called to, in a similar way, rely completely on God, right?
Mm-hmm. That's, in a nutshell, why I'm Catholic, because it's the weirdest. If it's true, and it is, that God became a human being like this, and like us in all things but sin, it's like, that's a game changer. Like, come on, amen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
The incarnation is one of the most touching things, I think, that you would, you know, when you really reflect on it, you're like, oh.
And it keeps going. It's the mystery that keeps, you don't solve it. It keeps solving you, and you're like, oh my gosh, yeah. I love it.
Exactly.
So beautiful.
So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Indeed.
That's right.
Hopefully that you're all having a merry Christmas, and we will see you next week before the new year. So take care, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.